Morning everyone, it's great to see everyone here today. My name's Albie, if I haven't met you yet. I'm the minister here at Grace Anglican. I'm actually going to change the screen behind Ron. If you can just keep that on, maybe the question and answer phone number. That way, if you've got any questions which come up during the sermon, you can actually just send it across to that mobile phone number or jot them down so that you don't forget them later on. It would be very helpful if you have your Bibles open. It'd be great just to see what the Bible's actually saying. It won't be on the screen behind me. And so that way we can actually do some work together. Also, just to let you know, at the back, in the back table behind where Noddy is at the moment, there's a number of maps. Last week, some people went out to do some letterbox dropping. We've got some areas that we still want to cover. There are some maps printed out with the blocks that we're still trying to get round to give the invites for Easter and Jitterbugs and ESL 2. If you're able to actually go out, just take a look at those maps and see if you might be able to do one of those maps and cover some of those blocks. That'll help just for us to be able to invite our neighbours to come to Easter and let them know about us. So take a look on your way out as you go. Let me tell you, though, about a man by the name of Bob Wieland. I don't know if you've heard of him before. Bob Wieland finally crossed the finish line on Thursday, the 6th of November, 1986. He was the New York Marathon's 19,413th and final finisher of that race. He was also the first person to run that race with his arms instead of his legs. Bob Wieland was a 40-year-old man whose legs had been blown off in Vietnam 17 years earlier. And so he ran the marathon using his arms, lifting himself up and swinging his torso backwards and forwards. His hands, his knuckles, his fists were covered in padding and size 1 Adidas running shoes in order to get through. He recorded what race officials said was at the time the slowest time in marathon history. 4 days, 2 hours, 28 minutes and 17 seconds. As he ran the race, he sometimes took naps for half an hour, 2 hours here and there, in order to get through. When he finished the race, he was an inspiration. How to keep going, he pressed on to finish the race. And he gives us a living picture of what Paul is talking about in the passage that was read out for us. What does it mean to be a Christian? To press on to win the prize. Why don't we pray as we come to God's word together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this privilege that we have to come together as your people to hear your word. And we pray now that as we hear Philippians 3 explained, that you just open up our eyes and open up our minds to what you have to say there. Help us, Father, to be encouraged and spurred on as we run the race. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, if you're taking notes, we're going to be looking at three different things. We're going to be looking at an example, a warning, and a reminder. Three things. An example, a warning, a reminder. And so to start off, let's take a look at the example. Take a look at verse 17. We're going to jump into the middle of that passage in Philippians 3. Paul says, verse 17, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." If you were here last week, Paul's actually been giving a bit of an autobiography, telling us about his story. It goes from verse 1 to verse 14, who he is. And here he tells us why he does that. You know, he's not just doing it to share his life story, to make something interesting. It's actually an example for us. You see, we can't look at verse 12 to 14 and the things that Paul goes through. We can't look at those verses and say, yeah, that's actually kind of what I expect apostles to be like. Yeah, maybe ministers have to do that as well, but you know, it's actually not me. Good for them, but it's not me. Paul doesn't let us get away with that, does he? He actually says, follow my example. Here is the pattern. Here is the model, which is actually for us. It's the same thing with verse 15. He actually says, to be mature, if you want to be mature, this is how we should think. And so this is the example. This is the example of Paul. Keep running the race. That's what it is. Keep running the race. He's saying you're not there yet. There is a godly dissatisfaction that takes place in verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul's quick to admit he's not there yet. He's not perfect. And instead he has this godly dissatisfaction, which is right and proper, that this is not all that there is, this world around us. This is not it. He is not perfect. I am not perfect. I know that. See, if you're running a race and you get to the end, what do you do then? When you've gotten to the end, when you're there already, then you rest. It's time for recovery. You take it easy, don't you, when you finish the race? That's when you catch your breath and you sort of sit back and you rest up at that point. But there is a godly dissatisfaction that he's not there yet, and it drives him to keep going. Verse 12, he says, I press on. Verse 13, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. And for Paul to press on, this example he gives us, it means two things. He forgets what is behind him. For Paul, that means forgetting all the things that we saw last week, if you're here, all the religious, all the social, all the professional achievements, all the things he used to trust in, the things he used to boast in, the things he used to trust to stand in front of God. He forgets that. It's useless. It's rubbish. It's garbage. And for us, it means forgetting our achievements, all the things that we are proud of, all the things that we think because of that we're actually okay in front of God. For us, it means forgetting all those achievements, but it can also mean forgetting all of our mistakes, all those things that we regret, all those things that we are guilty of, all those things that sometimes we get bogged down by because of our sin. We forget that. Christ has actually wiped the slate clean, and instead what we do, we strain forward. We press on to what is ahead. And the image that Paul gives us is the image of an athlete. An athlete who is running a race and the gun fires and you take off. And at that point, you forget about all the months of training you did. You forget about all those early morning runs that you had to go through, those scorching hot sessions. You forget that because there is one thing you're focused on. And that is the finish line. And so you run the race, you run your hardest, you run your fastest, and at the end you strain with all your strength, eyes on the prize, to get the trophy, to have that medal around your neck. And that is Paul. Paul, as he runs, he has this crystal clear clarity. And I wonder, is that us? Does that describe our Christian life, that we forget what's behind and we're straining forward to get to that finish line? It's easy for us to say, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for years. What does Paul say to you then? Fix your eyes on the finish line. Run the race. Or maybe you say to yourself, well, I'm pretty good. I read the Bible every day. I used to go to a youth group and it was exciting. I met a guy once who actually told me that he's read the Bible three times from cover to cover. Maybe you're somebody who sits there and said, oh, I've actually done mission. I've gone overseas to do mission. I've gone to beach mission. I went to Bible college. Look at all the people that I've told about Jesus. God says, fix your eyes on the finishing line. Run the race. Or maybe you say to yourself, I taught Sunday school. I used to do music. But now I've got kids, I'm busy at work, I've done those things before, and now it's time for other people to do that because, you know, I'm actually quite busy. And God says to us, fix your eyes on the finishing line. Don't get distracted. Run the race. There is going to be a time for you to sit back. There is going to be a time for you to rest, to take it easy, put your legs up. And that's when Jesus comes. But in the meantime, we run the race. That's the example Paul gives us. And so maybe a way to actually think about that this morning, maybe the question we should be asking ourselves is, what's next? What is next that God actually has in plan for me? What is it that I can actually be doing in order to grow? Where can I be serving? Is there a part of your life you need to fix up? What's next for you? Where does God want you to be? Or maybe actually if you take a stop and you look at verses 12 to 14, the example that Paul gives us, maybe you've just noticed actually in my race, I've slowed down. I've actually come to a bit of a stop. And Paul says, press on. Run the race. There's the example Paul puts in front of us. Paul also gives us a warning in verse 18. He gives us a warning. He says in verse 18, For as I have often said to you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Gee, that's a stinging rebuke, isn't it? To be an enemy of the cross of Christ. He actually describes them. He says their destiny is destruction. Thousands of people here in Roseville who don't know Christ. People in Roseville or Chatswood. People in your offices. In the playground. Millions across the globe facing God's judgment and anger. And that's why we warn people. That's why we invite them to come to the Easter services to hear about Jesus. Not because we think judgment is fun. Do you see how Paul describes it? Even with tears he says this. Not because judgment is fun, but because judgment is real. Jesus is coming. And so we tell people of the good news that they can be saved. Their destiny is destruction, but their God is their stomach. Paul's saying there, it's kind of a vivid way of saying, it's actually their appetites which dictates their life. It's their desires. What they want is what they do. And the appetites could be food, but I think it's more than that. The appetites could be possessions, chasing after those things. It could be an appetite for gossip. It could be the sexual appetites of lust. That is what dictates their life. And their glory is their shame. The things that they should be ashamed of, the things that they will be ashamed of in front of God, they're proud of. And their mind is on earthly things. And I think that last description, it's actually a little bit scary, actually. Their mind is on earthly things. You know, sometimes we think of the enemies of Christ. It must be the big bad guys out there. You know, the terrorists, the jihadists, the people who are doing all sorts of obvious sins. But their mind is on earthly things. How easy is that for us to drift in the same direction? How easy is it for us as Christians? Just think of materialism, something that I think all of us struggle with in one form or another. When it comes to materialism, where do you draw the line? When it comes to your career, when does career become the be-all and end-all for you? What are the material things that where if you have that, now my mind is on earthly things? Is it when I get this new phone? Is it when I have a new car, when I've got a house? Is it when I want those things? And I'm not saying that to be judgmental, because I look around and I have those things. But at what stage are we actually having our minds set on earthly things? When do we actually need to warn somebody around us, somebody we love, that that's where they're heading? When does somebody say, come up and say to me, Albie, you've got to cut that out? Because it's so easy to drift, isn't it? It's so easy for us to drift as we live in the here and now, to actually live for the here and now, where our mind is on earthly things. And that's where Paul gives us the warning. And in answer to that, he gives us the reminder. We see the example to follow, we see the warning, and here's the reminder. The here and the now, we don't belong there. We don't belong there. Our home is in heaven. Verse 20, let me read that out. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, enemies of the cross, their destiny is destruction. But those who trust in Jesus, we will be where he is. That's where we belong. Our citizenship, we are citizens of heaven. So if you want to be an Australian citizen, you have to pass a test. I don't know if somebody here has done that, but you actually need to sit a citizenship test. You have 45 minutes to go through 20 multiple choice questions. It's a test which is supposed to work out your knowledge of the English language, your knowledge of Australia, your knowledge of the rights, the responsibilities to be an Australian citizen. I was looking at some of the practice questions. I wonder if you'd be able to pass. It had questions like, what do we remember on Anzac Day? Yeah, it's kind of simple enough. What are the colours of the Aboriginal flag? What is a referendum? What happened on 1 January 1901? Yeah, at some point we start going, I don't know if I know these answers. But you actually have to sit this test. And if you get 75%, they let you pass. You can be an Australian citizen. Australia is your home. Well, when it comes to Christianity, there is no test to get into heaven. There is no grade, there is no pass mark, there is no, you have to be good enough in order to be a Christian. All you need is to put your trust in Jesus, and you are a citizen of heaven. Heaven is your home. That's called grace. We don't deserve it. God gives it to us in Christ. And if that is our home, if that is where you are heading, live for that. Live for that. Live as citizens of heaven, like we saw in Philippians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Not having our minds set on earthly things, temporary things, the here and now. Live for the future. Live for the day when Jesus comes again. Live for the day when we will be resurrected and our bodies will be transformed to be like his glorious risen body, to have bodies which are not stained by sin, to have bodies not stained by death. Live for that day. Because that future, that is the finishing line, and it is exciting. Paul says, look forward to it, long for it, live for it, eagerly await for Jesus to come. He reminds us who we are. You see, there's this other race, another race that I was reading about. It was a cycling race. It was a person by the name of Adama Tupalik, is I think how you pronounce his name. He was a cyclist. He was in the world championship held in Belgium. And as he's cycling, going down this race, he goes the final corner and he straightens up towards the finishing line. And he's pedaling hard. And as he crosses the line, he raises his hands in delight, puts his hands in the air. Except he was one lap too early. And as he slows down, all the other cyclists go past him. And he doesn't win. He doesn't get to the end in that way that he was supposed to. He actually says to himself afterwards, as he's being interviewed, of course he's being interviewed, he says, I am an idiot. Nothing more, nothing less. Everyone thinks this is a big joke. See, we look at that, and how excruciating would that be to have that plastered all over YouTube, but actually having to live with that. But friends, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to your eternity, this is no joke. Make sure that you don't lose sight of the goal. Keep running the race. Don't peter out one lap too early going, okay, that's it. I can sit back. I can stop. Keep running the race to the end. Can I leave you with two applications from this? The first one's obvious. Keep pressing on. Keep running the race. Keep living for the future. Live out as a Christian. Are there any areas in your life where actually at the moment you are living with your mind set on earthly things? There are things creeping into your life which are actually taking away from Jesus. Maybe it's money, or it's work, or it's relationship. Things that are actually good in and of themselves. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your house. You know, just as a bit of a mental exercise, if you had to choose one thing, you know, just one thing, what's the thing that competes the most with having Jesus as Lord? You know, it might not be that it actually is replacing Jesus, but what's the thing which is actually going to be the biggest threat for you? The thing that you actually realize it becomes more and more, grabs more and more of your attention. What's the thing which actually competes most with following Jesus? Yeah, it's not a rhetorical question. Actually think about something. Come up with, what's the one thing that's going to be the biggest struggle for you? I suspect I know what it is for me. Yeah, the thing that you actually have in your head, why don't you share that with somebody after the service? If you're married, why don't you talk to your spouse about what's the thing which is actually the biggest threat for you? What's the thing that competes with Jesus? Tell them what it is so that they can encourage you, so that you get it out there and you recognize what it is that can actually get in the way from you finishing the race. Ask that question that we talked about earlier. What's next? Where does God want you to go? How does God want you to keep growing? How does God want you to keep serving? What's next as you run the race? But maybe you're actually sitting there and life is actually a bit tough at the moment. You're trying to run the race, but actually it's hard at work and there's all these pressures coming in. Or actually it's what's happening at home. You're trying to juggle all the different things. Actually, it's hard to keep going. And Paul says, keep running the race. There is a finishing line. You know what it's like when you're running and the finishing line is so far away, it's impossible. And you give up. But no, Paul says that is the finishing line. Christ is going to come again. And it is going to be a great finishing line. Keep going. And so if you actually are struggling as a Christian and it's tough, then this is the words that you need to hear. Be comforted. God has put a finishing line and it is going to be good. And actually, He's the one who's going to take hold of you and get you there. That's the first application. Keep running the race. But did you also notice what it says here? Do this. Keep running the race together. Keep running the race together. This is not a solo marathon. This is not just us running off in the direction by ourselves. We do this together as a body of Christ. Verse 17, Paul says, take note of those who live according to the pattern that Paul gave us. Paul's actually saying, he's saying, choose your example. Choose your example. Don't just follow the crowd. Don't just even follow the church crowd. You know, when you're running the race, make sure you're following somebody who is running in the right direction. See, everyone in church, you might actually see, okay, well, everyone's got a big house or everyone's focusing on their work. It must be right. Focus, follow, choose your example. Choose the right example. Find somebody who is living this way and live like them. Make sure that you're not just comparing yourself to the people around and lowering your standard to that. Choose somebody who's running the right direction and follow after them. I was actually talking to a Christian couple, a couple who's involved in ministry. And something that I noticed, actually Dawn pointed it out to me, is that whenever you talk to them about ministry, it was actually never about them. It was never about how hard it is for them, how much of a slog it is. Oh, you know, it's really hard. Oh, look at all these different things that I'm doing. I'm so busy. It wasn't actually about them, and it's so easy to do that. It was always about God, what God was doing, the opportunities God was bringing, the way that God was working in people's lives. And actually, as I thought about that, as I saw them as an example, actually, that's something that I need to work on as well. Because it's so easy for me to actually be saying how busy things are, how much I have to do, it's such a struggle. I've got to actually learn to deflect things back to God and to see, wow, look at what God is doing. I need to choose my example. I need to see who's running the race and to follow after them. And so for us, run the race together. Choose your example. Don't just follow the church crowd. Follow who is running after God. I mentioned at the start Bob Wieland. Bob Wieland actually, when he was running the race, the director of the marathon thought that Bob Wieland had given up because it was 4 days later, but Bob Wieland was still running down the sidewalks along the right course. He thought that Bob Wieland had given up until he found out the day before he was still in the race. Bob Wieland, when he finished, he claimed his medal with the media surrounding him, with the accolades and the fame that went along with it. Actually, after that race, he went on to run the New York Marathon another 2 times. He ran the Ironman Challenge. He ran the LA Marathon. And when he answered, why did he run the marathon? Why did he go into that New York Marathon the first time? He actually said, it's because he was a Christian. It was to demonstrate his Christian faith. He said, success is not based on where you start. It's where you finish. And I finished. The first step was the most difficult. After that, we were on our way home. Friends, as we look at Philippians, we are on our way home. We're on our way home. And Paul says, press on, win the prize, because you are citizens of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for what we see here in Philippians. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Paul. Thank you for the example of Bob Whelan. Thank you for the examples that you've put around us. And we pray, Father, as we see the finish line in front of us, as we see Paul painting what it is that you have called us to, Father, help us to be excited. Help us to run the race. Help us to keep living for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.